It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running once again for yet another installment of The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the Madcap Mary multimedia wacky zany real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And zounds, you'll be right there where you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Squeaky 41 and VT Blom and, well, me. And yes, also by midweek utility pinch hit chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Yo, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And I'm pleased to tell you that we have reached the middle of the week. We have thanks to send out to our subscribers. Yes, indeed. And that would be thanks going out to Bernice. And thanks going out to Carl. Carl in Columbus. And Bernice. I don't have an address. So there's that. But thanks to them, let's see, that takes the fundraising goal from last night down to... thanks to Mike in Cascadia for re-upping his subscription. Let's see, 286. $461. Last night plus tonight, $461. So to come up even. For the week. So there we go. That's 461 to finish the evening where we need to be. And I should note early on, I was just about knocked out of my chair last night as I was doing the upload after the program was over. Because I got a note from, I want to get it here so I get the words right. I got a note from Larry in Liberalville. Larry in Liberalville. And like I said, it just about knocked me out of my seat. Larry had some very kind things to say about the program and about the community. remember, you know, when people praise this program, it ain't just me. It's everybody who makes the program happen. The people who write, the people who call, the people who whose tweets and Facebook posts and whose outreach on Skype all find their way into the program. So when Larry in Liberalville says your program provides unique commentary along with historical and factual information, I find this invigorating and necessary in our society. Well, he means all of us. And, of course, Larry in Liberalville is part of the community. I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, says Larry in Liberalville. Also, happy holidays to the entire Horn community. And then he said something else. He said, I want to put a matching challenge on the table. I want to swamp the Swede, numb the Norskies. I want to crush the Czech, and I want to lambast the Lithuanian. Most importantly, Larry in Liberal Land says, I want to annoy the alt-right and the tangerine Tiberius. I love that, says Larry. And toward that end, if we can finish this week on schedule with fundraising, I know it's a big if. We're already in a $461 hole, and we got two more nights after tonight. But if we can do that, then Larry in Liberal Land will double it, and then some. Meaning that we will finish fundraising for December and for the year a week ahead of schedule. And it also means that the entire final week of 2017, the final broadcast week, Christmas, the day after Christmas, Berg's birthday, the final prayer meeting Wednesday, the 27th, the 28th and the 29th, those will all be fundraising-free programs. But only, if we can meet the challenge. So, tremendous thanks to Larry in Liberal Land for really, really jumping out there and making it possible for us to have a little holiday season community miracle. Thank you, Larry. Thank you very, very much indeed. So that's a big deal. Let's not leave this on the table. You know what? It would be among the best gifts I could receive just to be able to do five programs, five nights, without saying a blessed word about fundraising. Thanking the subscribers, but saying nothing about fundraising. Wouldn't that be awesome? And my answer is, of my own question is, awesome. That would be something approaching inconceivable. And I do know what that word means. So, there it is. It's out there. I've shared the information with you. Now all we have to do is do something about it. It would be a magnificent way to get to end the year and, well, frankly, start it as well. So there it is. If you want to help out, go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the Contribute tab, and put in whatever figure you want to in the box there. And, you know, fill, it's not much of a form at all. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, just let me know so I can tell Boss Man Wayne. And checks and money orders come into the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. If you would like to make to do this in the form of being becoming a subscriber, you can click the little box there, or you can go over to patreon.com/BobKincaid and become a subscriber there. I really hope this can happen. And I'm really tickled to say that we're getting closer. We're $50 toward it. Thank you very kindly to Charlene for taking us down to only $411 to go to finish the evening. And we are only $811 away from crushing the check and lambasting the Lithuanian and nuking the Norsky and slamming the Swede. So there we go. I'm excited. I'm potentially, if this happens, I'm going to be thrilled beyond expression. And program note, program update, couple of them. One, it's looking more and more likely that there will be a Christmas night program Monday, December the 25th. I checked in with Agnes, and she might even be home for Christmas evening. So that would be cool. And then Tuesday, the 26th, assuming everything works, we had a little problem the last time, but assuming that everything works, on Tuesday, the 26th of December, I will be filling in for Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Progressive Voices. So that's so we've got that going for us, too, which is awesome. Okay. All right, then. Such being the case. By the way, thank you. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. We are streaming live at headon.live in ordinary, wonderful, reliable fashion. And let's see. Tune in. TuneIn is working on the 8K stream, which explains why Marty is telling me I sound tinny. The 8K stream sounds like crap, but that thing was designed a long time ago for people who still had dial-up. And for some reason or another, it's about the only thing that TuneIn can pick up off the White Rose stream. Okay. Well, here it is here it is, the solstice, the winter solstice, the shortest period of daylight of the year. And for me, from an anthropological standpoint, it is also the time of year when the membrane between the present and the past, for at least for me, seems thinnest. The solstice, never mind what the Christians say, the solstice is the true reason for the season. Nobody in their right mind thinks Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, was born on December 25th. That was just a handy date for the early church to co-opt so that the pagans could go on celebrating something this time of year, but wouldn't necessarily be worshiping their ancient deities. So you get December 25th. But it's the solstice that's the reason for the season. It's this shortest day of the year, which I guess some people look at rather grimly. I look at it with joy. I love the winter solstice. Because every day after this will be longer. A little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. Oh, okay. Thank you, Marty, for letting me know that the White Rose stream is up and the HQ stream is running. Goody, goody. No, Arthur, it's not Santa's birthday either. No, don't think so. but nice try. I'm not passing out a cowbell for that one, though. I'm sorry. I'm just not. Wow, thank you, Christopher. Christopher, last I heard from Christopher, he was traveling in Cambodia on a bit of a vacation, sent me some magnificent photographs. But Christopher, who is ordinarily in the far, far north, up in the Northwest Territories of our neighbors to the north in Canada, Christopher just jumped in, so that means we are down to $361 to go on the evening and $761 to go to meet Larry's end of the year challenge. Hot diggity dog. That's wonderful. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. Christopher, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. No, the solstice. I'm weird. I get sad. Now this is all northern hemispheric bias. Okay, I understand that. So I apologize to. I'm weird, but we know that. I get sad on the summer solstice because that means the days after the summer solstice grows shorter and shorter and shorter. But on the winter solstice, I happy up. And you know, maybe the ancients did too. And maybe they did it in exact opposite order in civilizations south of the equator. Maybe. Because with the lengthening of days, I like to think, based on what we know of human activity, which they left primarily in stone, marking the solstices, and particularly the winter solstice, what became very much important to early humans. We know it was important in agrarian societies, but you know what? It was even important to hunter-gatherers. because when you hunt and gather, you move from one place to another in search of continued sustenance. So in the northern hemisphere, when the winter solstice came, you would know that you could begin to move a little bit northward as the days grew longer. And of course, in agrarian societies, agricultural societies, you knew that you would measure from that day to know when to begin to prepare the fields and when to plant. And so this was a big celebration day. And it's not just something that Europeans have in common, or people of European heritage. Today, for instance, at Chichen Itza, in Mexico. Well, a shadow crawled down a pyramid. A shadow crawled down a pyramid that made it look like the flowered serpent that adorned it was actually moving there on the Yucatan Peninsula. Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent. Today, the sun broke through a specific space at Stonehenge. Today, in the southwest, another grouping of stones saw the sun enter a specific area to point that this was that most sacred, dare I say it, of days. It's pretty amazing stuff. And yes, even in Appalachia, although I think the Friends of Coal at some point in time got in and blew the living hell out of it, there was another one of those stone markers. Think of it as a sort of sundial. Where the sun on the solstice, and only on the solstice, strikes in particular fashion. And it's all over. It happens in the southern hemisphere. I think I read something about it was known to the Aboriginal peoples of Australia. It was known at Sacsayhuaman, on what used to be the shores of Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. It was known to the Andean civilizations. It was known. It was known in among civilizations in Africa, and India. And the solstice ties us together, binds us in our common humanity. So if Christmas gets you down, try the solstice sometime. You don't have to be pagan or Wiccan. All you have to be is human and living on this little blue-green marble, this little time machine hurtling in its helical journey through the galaxy and through the universe. Maybe you'll mark it with a beer. Glass of wine, shot of liquor, or maybe you won't mark it with any kind, maybe torch up a fatty, or maybe not at all. Maybe like me, you'll just sort of sit in kindred wonder at the idea that you're paying attention to something that's been paid attention to by just about every human being that's ever been alive on this planet. That's been paid attention to by a whole lot more than Christians or Muslims or Jews or Hindus. Or Buddhists, or animists, Jains, whatever you call the Scandinavian old religion. Paid attention to by adherents of Ishtar Astarte. Paid attention to by devotees of Mithras. Devotees of Ra and Isis. And that big-nosed god whose nose looked like a hawk's beak. Take a moment. Just a moment. And ponder what an amazing, amazing thing you're participating in. Just by being alive, and by being aware, and by being alert to what it all means. You know what? Okay, Arthur, you... After, you know, there's got to be a lightener after Bob attempts to be serious, and Arthur gets a cowbell for this. Talking about the stone edifices and markers. That's so the aliens can come back and teach us their secret barbecue sauce recipe again. Absolutely. And you know what? If you read the New York Times article recently, they may have come back and just taken a look and said, no, they made who president? Or maybe they knew what was coming, and they just gone again. Did you see that? Yes, Anatole. Ahura Mazda, too. Absolutely. This New York Times, you know, and it was the story about the secret program that was designed to, in deep inside the Pentagon, to be alert to or aware of or attempt to understand whether or not there are or we have been visited by beings not of this earth. And there was video there from naval aircraft cameras of a couple of particular unidentified flying objects, which were not behaving in a fashion that anything made by human beings can do. So, there, you know, when you watch the video, that's kind of the face and the noise that you make. What? Necessarily, the program has been shut down. But, God Almighty, if they are paying attention, if their universal translators are working, they're either priming the weapon right now that will sort of... they're not a threat right now. They haven't figured out the pumpkin-proof drive yet, but they'd like to have one. But we're going to keep an eye on them, because if they keep doing things like electing Donald Trump, you know, with the disintegrating ray gun, and I don't mean the Acme disintegrating ray gun, the one that when you When you pull the disintegrating pistol, when you pull the trigger, the pistol disintegrates? No, not like that. No, the real, the good one, the good stuff. It's too much to summarize, but it is damned well worth the reading. You can find it over at the New York Times. And okay, I am mind blown. I am just stopped in my tracks. Silent R. Lamar, when Silent R. Lamar does things, he doesn't halfway do them. He does them with real verve and gusto. Thank you. Thanks going out Jack in Shreveport, who took us down, who knocked out the $61, so we got some nice round numbers to mess around with. Thank you. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very kindly to Donald. Thank you, Donald, who says Merry Christmas, Bob, and all. That took us down to $600. And then Silent R. Lamar just wiped it out. Just said done. So guess what? Thanks to Larry in Liberalville's challenge and all of your responses to it, we will have, apart from thanking our subscribers, we will have a fundraising-free remainder of 2017 here at the Horn. Silent R. Lamar, you can be anything you want to, my friend. Anything you want. I'm just absolutely knocked down. This is as lovely a Christmas as I could hope for. Because what it does is it takes all the stress off. And I can, and we can just go forward and enjoy the program for the, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. We got 7 programs of fundraising free, independent radio. And it's almost impossible to imagine, but wow. Just wow. Thank you, one and all. Thank you. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. That's happy stuff. And, it takes a little bit of the sting out of the other stuff that happened today. Because other stuff did happen today. The American people... And it feels kind of weird to just sort of... wait a minute. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's do this right. Let's do this right. Because I was getting so far ahead of myself that I had neglected to... And the little blue-haired ladies really hate it when I do that. I had neglected to tell you about their hard work. It's the last prayer meeting before Christmas Day, and the little old blue-haired ladies pulled out all the stops. They know what I like in the way of a Christmas dinner. Yes, Arthur, very true, very true. There weren't enough funds for the end of the night, and now there's enough for the end of the year? That's not a Christmas miracle, says Arthur. That's a Hanukkah miracle. Thanks to Silent R, Lamar, and everybody else who jumped in, says Arthur. That's true. I mean, that whole business about the lamp oil and everything, that does have kind of a Hanukkah flavor to it, doesn't it? I'm glad you caught that. I would not have, Arthur. Thank you. Anyway, the little old blue-haired ladies know what I like on Christmas in the way of Christmas dinner, and they jump to it. And so, consequently, there was some thinly sliced roast beast, some roast beast gravy. There were fried oysters, oysters bienville. Oh, how I love those. And yes, there were grilled asparagus tips, the obligatory mashed potatoes, and above all, there was Yorkshire pudding. Oh, Yorkshire pudding, how I love it. That smoking hot iron skillet. With the beef grease. Yes, I know it's grease. But literally smoking out of a 500-degree oven. And the frothy batter gets poured in, and it immediately whoosh, puffs up, and into the oven it goes. Oh, yes. The little old blue-haired ladies outdid themselves something fierce. They even went so far as to slice up the Stalin. The slices of the German fruitcake pastry type, and there was old school hillbilly fruitcake. And the deacons made short work of both. And then, of course, being the deacons, they trundled their massive bulk up a couple of flights of stairs. Because, see, they had extra energy. Because, well, we try out the new products from Horn Nutraceuticals on the Deacons. And they had just ingested, not long before, they had ingested, yes, that's right. Magnificent, monumental, Momordica. New from Horn Nutraceuticals, it's Magnificent, Monumental, Momordica. A proprietary blend of Momordica that is gluten-free, cruelty-free, cage-free, free-range, non-GMO Momordica that'll get you going where you want to go. That's right. Magnificent, monumental Momordica for the winter solstice. You know, I've never cared much for Momordica, let alone knowing what it is. But thanks to monumental, magnificent Momordica, I can get my Momordica fix every day with just a little handful of capsules of Magnificent Monumental Momordica from Horn Nutraceuticals and the hardworking peripatetic scientists thereof. Yes, and if you order right now, because operators are not standing by, if you order a 3-month supply of Magnificent Monumental Momordica, well, golly, we'll send you a 3-month supply of Magnificent Monumental Momordica and a little bundle of test strips so that you, in the privacy of your own holiday home, can find out what we already know about Monumental Magnificent Momordica from Horn Nutraceuticals. It's absolutely worthless. It won't do a damn thing for you. Unless, of course, you trick your own, pull some sort of Jedi mind trick on your own mind and convince yourself that it is. Because we here at Horn Nutraceuticals can guarantee that Monumental Magnificent Momordica has absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever. Ask for it by name. Magnificent Monumental Momordica, only from Horn Nutraceuticals. Accept no substitutes. Post no bills. Use no hooks. This side up. FOB. COD. HOHOHOHOHO. Mm-hmm. Magnificent Monumental Momortica from Horn Nutraceuticals. And there we go. But they did, energized by their magnificent Monumental Momortica, and with a belly full of Christmas pastries, and, oh, yes, and the horseradish, the horseradish was fresh, too. I shaved that. You ever tried to shave a horseradish? The real trick is getting the horse to stand still. There we go. That's enough of that. And they went out to the parking lot, and they stood, and they fired up, and they sat there and chain-smoked with the sinners until Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule doorway on this not particularly uncomfortable summer solstice day, with the horn, the cathedral solar-powered cattle prod just a-cracklin', and their pink little ears perked up, and they began, the deacons did, to waddle just as fast as they could to get toward the door, and they blew right past Sister Carol. They blew right past that desiccating bowl of butter mints. And guess what? They get to take a load off this evening. I told them, deacons, just leave the heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plates right there on the table. Just have a seat, folks, and enjoy the show. They looked at me with that sort of open-mouthed, vacant, blank look that certain Republicans have down to a T. But yeah, I could tell they were grateful because there was eggnog in the fellowship hall as well, and the little old blue-haired ladies, while their back was turned, I did a little magic with the eggnog. And so they're glad to be sitting down. So with that, I will ask the minister of music to step forward, please, and lead us in the opening hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. ever said religion should be free.
Oh, Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar Maximum, Metropolitan Bob Kincaid, and yes, we are all gathered together. I'm calling upon you right now, brethren and sistren, to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and wiggle and wobble and waddle and move without rhythm so you won't attract the worms, and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high down into you via the cathedral of common sense. Amen. Ha! Glory. Amen and amen. Worlds without end. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Brethren and sistren, I tell you what, here in this precious holiday season, we got plenty of news to talk about as we consider the sacred holiness of the season. Yes. I don't think so, Silent R. Lamar, with the new Republican tax bill. I think I'll use the program as a tax write-off. No, because I don't think they would like you doing that. I don't think they'd like you doing that even a little bit. Now, if you wanted to, say, write off a contribution to, say, the fact that, you know, you'd subscribed at, you know, $700 or $800 a month for, you know, bucket pudding over at Jim Baker's joint, well, you could do that. But you just can't do that sort of thing here. That's just, no. Because common sense cathedrals don't get no tax breaks. But anyhow, I thought we would begin by noting a passing. A calling home. What our dear friend Sandra used to refer to as a glory call. The glory call came this week for Bernard Cardinal Law. Apparently, they decided it was time to haul his ass off this mortal plane and up onto the astral one, because the little imps and demons down in hell were getting anxious they had all their pineapples lined up, and they decided it was reverse pineapple time for Cardinal Law. You know who I'm talking about, right? The guy who covered up hundreds, if not thousands, of priest rapes inside the Catholic Church, subjected the Archdiocese of Boston to a massive amounts of litigation and damages, and who was then, thanks to our first and only thus far Nazi Pope, you remember, what the hell was his name? 16th of something. The guy before Frank, the Nazi Pope. He said, Bernie, why don't you just come over here and live in Rome for a spell? And gave him a nice, cushy gig running St. Mary Major. Yeah. Well, he croaked. And for formerly little children, mostly little boys, who continue to recover from years of sexual abuse and rape by Roman Catholic priests, whose rapes were covered up by Bernard Law, I'd guess it's a Christmas present of a
of a different sort. Ah, there we go. I couldn't read. Pope Benny. Pope Benny the Nazi. That's him. Thanks, Marty. Benedict. Benedict the something or Benedict the Roman numerals. The Nazi Pope. Well, he's not dead yet. But his buddy Cardinal Law is. And he dies, does Cardinal Law, without ever having to pay on earth for his sins. But I'm, like I said, if there's a real hell, I'm pretty sure that Satan's waiting for him with a whole bunch of pineapples, in reverse. Mm-hmm. So that's just a starting place. But it is by far, it's far and away not the end of it. Oh no, we've got ever so much more. Let's check in with Pastor Greg Locke, Locke. He runs a Dodge called Global Vision Bible Church. And he's all worked up about, of course, well, I mean, he's a Christian, so he's all worked up about hunger and starvation in the world. No. He's all worked up about, he's all worked up about homelessness. And no. Disease, no. People in prison, nope, not that either. Because he's a good, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian. Pastor Greg Locke of the Global Vision Bible Church is all worked up about wedding cakes. And he issued, about this time of year, the Pope gives out an address called Ob Urbe Ad Orbe, Latin, from the city to the world. Pastor Greg Locke, he's no Pope, and being how he's one of those, he probably thinks the Pope is a Mary worship and idol worship and satanic yada yada yada, because that's what you get with that bunch. No, Pastor Greg Locke. By the way, this is a special message to the gay community inside the Horn community. Hockey puck, hockey puck, hockey puck, hockey puck. Lots and lots and lots of duct tape. Because he issued a message to the gay world. Damn, he could have just gone on Craigslist, but no. Here we go. This will take a second. All right. Did you get enough time to get the hockey puck out yet? I hope. 3, 2, 1.
It's Pastor Greg Locke here. If you're anything like me, you're sick and tired of hearing about this homosexual cake bacon nonsense. Look, Mr. Jack out in Colorado has served homosexuals for many, many years, but it's different when you are targeted by them. The LGBT, ABCDEFG, whatever the foolish acronym is at this particular point, they've gone overboard. They have fake outrage.
No offense, and I hope this will be taken in the right way and not the wrong one. And maybe it's more a matter of if you had the visual to go with it. Doesn't he sound No, that's wrong. That's right. Is he setting off anybody's gaydar? Let's put it that way. The LGBT, ABCDEFG, and his head, is bobbing. Like his, I mean, like his head, like his head's on a neck on a swivel. But he's all upset. Okay, I'm sorry for the interruption. Let's try this again.
Hey guys, Pastor Greg Locke here. If you're anything like me, you're sick and tired of hearing about this homosexual cake baking nonsense. Look, Mr. Jack out in Colorado has served homosexuals for many...
Wait, homosexual cake baking nonsense. Is he trying to say that gay people can't bake? Because Buster, I'm guessing they can prove you wrong. Homosexual cake baking nonsense. Yeah, I remember when we could have good heterosexual cake, all dry and hard and no icing on it or nothing, and they weren't pretty or anything, because they were heterosexual cakes back when America was great. Right.
Many years, but it's different when you are targeted by them. The LGBT, ABCDEFG, whatever the foolish acronym is at this particular point, they've gone overboard.
You just know he didn't want to say foolish. You don't just throw an F adjective in there accidentally. Anyway.
They have fake outrage, selective drama, and why don't they get up and go try that nonsense at a Muslim bakery? See if they get their tails thrown out in the street and see what happens then. They wouldn't be suing them. No, this is an absolute positive target. It is a target on evangelicals with actual convictions.
Right, because, you know, Muslims don't have actual convictions. And he also does... What does he think? First of all, I don't think there's a problem with Muslim bakeries refusing to bake cakes for Christian weddings, because we would have heard about it by now, whether it be a heterosexual or no. One. Two, what does he think they're going to do? Yell Aloha snack bar and lop the heads off the groom and groom or the bride and bride? God bless America. Stupid is strong with this one. Why don't you just try that with some Muslims? They'll kick your butt right out in the street. They will. I promise. Dale Harris, dude Jesus. Oh. So it's two slurs in one. Yeah, well, okay, okay. No, this one really does get a cowbell. Arthur worked on this one. You know, it could be interference from a gay weather balloon. Your background gaydiation starts at 27 milliacans. Milliacans. Well played, Arthur. Well played. Fake outrage. You know, because that's what it is. When you get discriminated against based upon who you are and how you are and what you are, any outrage that isn't Christian outrage is, of course, fake outrage. Got it? Now if it was a case of a Christian having a wedding cake refused to them by a Muslim bakery, that would not be fake outrage. Of course, what I don't understand is why all the evangelical Christians don't just celebrate their weddings with Jim Baker bucket cake. And bake it right there in the bucket. Mm-hmm. But they would sue... And here's the sad part. They would probably win, because it is illegal in the United States to discriminate against someone in public accommodations based upon someone's religious choice, proclivities, hang-ups, fantasies. Superstitions? Yeah. So I'm guessing that hasn't happened. Must mean that the Muslim bakeries are pretty well behaving themselves. But what good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian couple would ever want a Muslim wedding cake anyway? It ain't got no bacon grease in it. And every good evangelical wedding cake got to have some bacon grease in it. That's how, you know, that's how they can tell that everybody there is a good Christian. Understand? Sneaking a little bacon grease into the icing there. Yeah, right. Gives it that nice smoky quality. Yeah.
Look, time out, bucko. I don't really give the flip of a wooden nickel who you have sex with.
Yeah, obviously you do. Bucko, what are you, Potsy from Happy Days? Bucko, I don't give the, and again with the F words. I don't give the flip of a wooden nickel. This guy has sat around the house, and when he sits around the house, he really sits around the house. No, this guy has sat around the house trying to think of things he can use instead of fuck, because apparently he has a real predilection for saying fuck. What was it his savior said? If something is yea, say yea. If something is nay, say nay. And not to be, you know, purtying up the language all the time. Well, that's true, too. Ron and Raleigh asking, December 25th, could it be the birthday of good King Wenceslas? It's got to be somebody's dang birthday. Well, that was always back in my drinking days. That was always one of my reasons to drink. Somebody's birthday somewhere. That went nicely with, never drink without a reason. Sun's up, mail's in. Somebody's birthday somewhere. Yeah. Good King Wenceslas. Does it say anything about it? No, that was the Feast of Stephen, though. What? Wait. Okay. We're getting lost. Stop it. Daggummit, Ron, you done dragged me off into the weeds. Anyway, back to Greg Locke's message to the gay world and something about flipping wooden nickels.
I don't care about your stupid, perverted sex life, but I do care when you cram it down my kids' throats in public school. I do care when every sitcom, every late-night talk show host, every comedian, every song, every movie coming out has to push the agenda. We're sick of you pushing your agenda. And so at the end of the day, Mr. Jack and whoever else can serve whoever he jolly well pleases. It's his business. Don't just target them and then have selective fake drama and outrage. Oh, my goodness, we're emotionally scarred. No, you're emotionally scarred because you're a pervert and you do things that are an abomination to God. You're not emotionally scarred because somebody won't make you a cake. Are you flipping kidding me? Look.
Methinks someone doth protest too much. I'm sorry, but just really? Now, you might ask yourself, where would I go if I wanted to hear Pastor Greg Locke preach? Well, you'd go to Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is also, curiously enough, because, you know, this is how the world works, the home of one Charlie Daniels, who is also a upstanding, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual. Maybe he goes to that church. Mm-hmm. Now, and Mr. Jack that he keeps talking about. Mr. Jack. That's a guy named Jack Phillips, who would actually be Mr. Phillips, but he acts like he's on a first-name basis with him. And all of this is about Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. It happened. The underlying incident happened in 2012 when Charlie Craig and David Mullins went into Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado, and Jack Phillips said he wouldn't make them no homosexual wedding cake. We will get a ruling on the case. It's been argued before the Supreme Court. We'll get a ruling on the case next spring. Now get this. You might have heard this audio and thought, well, this guy's just some Looney Tunes. Pastor Greg Locke has over 1.2 million Facebook followers. He's got 45,000 followers on Twitter. I don't know how to do that magic thing that Tara was talking about last night where you find out how many of them are fake. But among other things, Pastor Greg Locke, who says it's fake drama when two guys are denied public accommodations from a place that's open for business to the public, well, you won't be surprised to know that Pastor Greg Locke is a big old Roy Moore fan. Sassy. Yes. He supported Roy Moore, which means, of course, that he also supports what? Well, yes, sexual molestation of young girls. And for all we know, young boys. Because I'm watching the video here, and I'm here to tell you that I will not be 10 cents worth of shocked one of these days when I'm doing my research for prayer meeting Wednesday, and I find out that Pastor Greg Locke's been caught, as the late great Bart Kopp would have said, with a man in his mouth. Just saying. It ain't it's the hypocrisy. As our buddy Burns said in Alabama Jesus, it ain't the heat, it's the stupidity. Mount Juliet, Tennessee is off to the east of Nash, Vegas. And it has experienced a bit of a boom in recent years. But we've had other stories out of Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Was this the same goober asshat who was telling school children to go in and take zeros on tests in public school because the public schools was violating their religious liberties by asking them to actually learn about the driving force of biology on planet Earth, to wit, that is evolution? I would not be surprised. There can't be two of these weird. Oh yes, there can be. But I'm betting it's the same guy. I'm betting. But that's okay. Wherever the truck stop is, or the Kmart restroom, or what, one of these days Greg Locke will get caught there.
Look, if a homosexual was drowning, I would save them. If a homosexual was drowning in a home or a car that was on fire, I would save them. I would feed them, clothe them, nourish them, serve them, help them. Many, many by the dozens have been to our church. And so just because I won't perform a same-sex wedding, or because I won't make a cake, or because I have some convictions that seem to be outdated and old-timey now.
Well, dumbass, let's draw a quick distinction here. No one is compelling you to perform any same-sex weddings. That would be a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which says that the government shall establish no, Congress shall no establishment of religion. Let's just put it that way. And so it would be unconstitutional as hell to try to make him. I can't imagine a self-respecting gay couple that would be interested in having their vows given them by a bigoted homophobic freak either, for that matter, But that's the difference. A church is not a public accommodation. A church is not a business. I mean, it is. We all know it is. It's the religion industry. But legally speaking, we do not categorize churches as in business. Bakeries, however, are. If you put a sign on your window that says Masterpiece, Master Cake Bakers, Master Bakers, whatever, and you say, come in, we're open, then that means that everybody can come in because they're open for business. They are inviting the public to come and do business with them and participate in the stream of commerce. You can see how ridiculous it is, for instance, if you consider, let's say this is one of those artisanal bakeries that uses seasonal stuff, and let's say that the awesomest cake flour is to be had by a small locavore mill that grinds only the finest cruelty-free, free-range, vegan, non-GMO, soft summer wheat into flour. And let's say the artisans who run that mill just happen to be gay. And let's say for a minute that you're just never going to make it onto the Food Network for your fabulous freaking wedding cakes if you're not using that artisanal wheat, because everybody knows that that's the best cake flour in Merca. Ah, you thought I was going to go to the reverb, didn't you? Nope. Well, let's say that the gay proprietors of that mill look at Jack Phillips of Master Bakers and say, no, you're a heterosexual, and our religion prevents us from selling wheat to you that you might bake into cakes for heterosexuals. And we have an absolute religious right to deny service to you because your heterosexuality is just icky and disgusting to us. Jack Phillips of Master Bakers would have those millers into court so fast that their heads would spin. See how it works? See why it is that Pastor Greg Locke is such a goddamn bigoted dumbass? Yes.
I'm a bigot. Now I'm a discriminatory monster.
Yes, you
are. Give me a break. Selective outrage. It's foolish. Hey, evangelical Christian, stand up and stand out. Speak up and speak out. It's a shame that this guy even has to stand before the Supreme Court. This is the United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave. So have sex with whoever you jolly well please, but at the end of the day, don't cram it down our throats.
Again with the throat cramming. That's his second. That is the second throat cram in under 2 minutes. He's got that throat cramming on the brain, don't you think? Yeah. I'm sorry. You just gotta wonder, don't you, Dr. Freud?
Oh, yes, I absolutely have to wonder, Bob. I would be wondering. I'm standing here wondering. Yeah, and you with the cigar. It's only a cigar.
I know. But he wants the evangelicals to stand up and stand out.
We need a rhyme for that. I mean, we're asses, no passes, get over it. Yeah, no. Yeah. So, but that's the, you know, that's the really nasty part of it. He wants the evangelicals to be openly hostile to gay people. After all that talk about how he'd save a homosexual if the homosexual was a drowning. That's what he said, drowning. That's a Southern thing. Sorry. The fact of the matter is, he's telling his 1.2 million freaks who follow him on Facebook that he wants them to vocalize their contempt for their fellow American citizens who are gay. Nice, huh? Yeah. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's work a little bit more. Oh, thank you very kindly to, I think that's Libby, for jumping in on fundraising this evening. Thank you so much, so very much. We've done had ourselves a holiday season miracle. Thank you. Let's scoot from Tennistan over to South Carolina Stan, where there's a preacher there by the name of Ralph Gordon Stair. He got arrested. Yeah, he's being persecuted. The Post and Courier newspaper reported this past Monday that Ralph Gordon Stair was taken in by the Colleton Sheriff's deputies when several women alleged he had engaged in sexual misconduct. Now, that was making bad matters worse, because earlier in the year, the same newspaper reported that Ralph Gordon, pastor, brother, minister, servant of the Most High, Ralph Gordon Stair, was part of an ongoing investigation by local and federal law enforcement officials that included the FBI. A video even showed up on YouTube that showed Ralph Gordon Stair in what it is alleged and appears to be situations in which he inappropriately touches little girls. And former members of his congregation have accused him of sexual perving. I guess that's kind of a redundant statement, isn't it? Colleton County Sheriff Andy Strickland said the allegations against Stair, based on the video, are not the first time he's been accused of inappropriate contact with an underage female. Now, that's back in October. Stair appeared in Colleton General Sessions Court in November of 2004, approximately 2 years after being charged with improperly touching two of his young female church members. They let him plead out. Oh, I guess it's not just Bernard Law. It's not just Catholics. He was allowed to plead down to assault and battery, so that he didn't have to do additional jail time and didn't have to register as a sex offender. But now, he just couldn't keep his hands to himself. Yep. Oh, that religion apiece. That's something, isn't it? And then again, picking up on something that I didn't. Robert in Australia says, subject line, we only serve Christian heterosexuals. This guy's pretty good if he can spot a drowning homosexual as opposed to a drowning heterosexual.
So how long before it's legal in the USA for every store to have a sign in its doorway that says, we only serve Christian heterosexuals? That's what they want. But, and you know, maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Because once those signs start going up, businesses that are run by gay folks, and there's a lot more than the evangelicals think, can put signs in their windows saying, no Christers allowed. Right? Yeah. That's kind of a visual, but still, it's funny. Scott and Punky with a note. Pope Benedict XVI didn't last long as Pope once he introduced radical Germanic changes to the Mass. That's funny. It's Benny elevating a great big, like, liter-sized Pilsner glass full of beer and then breaking a pretzel host and consecrating it over the beer. You know, I might show up for that party. But then again, that's why I'm a Pastafarian. Because especially now that I can't drink anymore, I have to depend on the afterlife for it. And we followers of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, remember, if you're shopping for a religion, I just want you to, take a look at us. Because when a Pastafarian dies, remember, our soul goes to Pastafarian heaven, where there's a beer volcano and a stripper factory. Not saying, just saying. Okay? So we've got some more prayer meeting stuff that we can go into. Oh, that sounds just damn tasty. Steve from Georgistan, pinch hit utility midweek chat room moderator notes, I just ordered a half dozen jumbo soft crabs for Christmas Eve, and I ain't drinking no sissy microbrew with it either. Well now, I wouldn't want any sissy microbrew either. I'd want me I think something like you'd want a real sturdy he-manly Russian Imperial Stout brandy wine something or another. Yeah. Or are you saying that you're just going to put a straw in the Jack Daniels bottle, Steve? I'm not entirely certain. Okay, I kept John in Central PA waiting. I'm sorry, I just needed to get through. Here endeth the lesson. Okay, we can stop doing prayer meeting now. Hey, John.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm good, how about you?
Well, I guess I'm on a ledge again, man. You know, this whole tax thing, let me be clear about this, and I know I'm always doom and gloom and, like, negative about stuff. This is bad, dude. This actually gives Republicans a lot of power, a lot more. Did you see all these corporations that are coming out saying they're raising their minimum wage now?
Oh, yeah.
And they're giving bonuses to people?
Yeah, they're paying off their bribes.
I mean, you know what that does, right? You know what the implication of this is?
Yeah, it means the rubes will go, see, it worked.
That, yep, and that actually might make the Republicans catch credit for $15 an hour wage. Unbelievable.
Well,
we've been talking about this.
Okay, so let's...
About $15.
Let's take a break. let's take a breath here.
I
understand what you're getting at. But let's just think for a minute. Which is more important? Having people get a $15 minimum wage or having Democrats secure a $15 minimum wage?
Oh, 15. It doesn't matter. Democrats have nothing to do with it. That's not what my beef with it. You know, it's just that, like, the people who fought hard for something like that are going to get or don't get to have power. but the people who could not care less about people's wages, who actually think that the wages are too high, are going to get reelected because of this. And, you know,
right. Now there's the danger, but it's always been the danger. You know, Boss Man Wayne has spent his career working to make working people's lives better in West Virginia. And although he, although he's a member of a union, and although he worked for an organization that was union funded and union based, you know what Boss Man Wayne did? He worked for everybody to have a fair and decent wage and not get ripped off by their employers. You know, Boss Man Wayne has said to me on a number of occasions, look, I only have a job and we only have unions because of the misbehavior of employers. He said, I'm trying to work myself out of a job. He said, if every worker was fairly paid and fairly treated, would there be any unions?
Because right,
if every worker is fairly paid, fairly treated, has health care and a pension and dignity in the workplace and can't be just fired for any reason or no reason, and stands on something approaching a level footing with management and capital, well, at that point in time, a union is just what? A social club.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the risk here, right. the risk here, as I perceive it, John, is that these libertarian freaks will say, see, they done it by themselves. They don't need no fucking union. But the problem is, it's not going to be across the board. And the free market will not solve this problem. So I understand your misgivings, but let me also throw a little something for you to ponder into this. So I'm sure you're as disgusted as I am. You saw the outdoor ceremony. You know what my favorite part of the ceremony today was? You watched it, didn't you?
No, Bob, that shit makes I'm way too anxiety prone to watch that.
Okay, so I watched it, and there's all these Republicans around him, but he's got Tim Scott from South Carolina, the only black Republican senator, standing right there next to him, and that wasn't an accident. Okay.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
So at one point in time, Geezer Disgustus drops his notes. And he looks at Tim Scott, who scurries to pick it up for him. And he says, yeah, you pick it up.
Really?
Donald Trump.
Are you fucking serious?
Donald Trump actually told the black guy to pick something up off the ground for him.
That's probably the way he's. That's probably what he thinks that they're. That you know that. I don't know.
But I mean, so that was a moment. But anyway, they all got together. They all got together, and there was Republican House members and Republican senators, and golly gee, Orrin Hatch, who sleazed all over Anita Hill. Orrin Hatch got up and gave his. I was raised a poor black child speech. He does it all the time now. He's getting a little trembly in his voice there, Orrin is. And I thought, my God, if he gives the I was raised poor speech one more time, the remaining members of Monty Python are going to invite him to play a role in the next time they do the Three Yorkshiremen skit. Oh, if only we'd had a box to live in. We had to live on a slab. We had to live in a garbage tip, you know, that kind of thing. So that was going on, and Mitch McConnell came up and talked to Trump like it was all just the sort of fawning sycophancy that the little ones do for, you know, a God Emperor Caesar type. Oh, we only got this bill through the leadership of Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't even know it was in the goddamn bill, John, okay?
I know.
So, I guess there were rubes out there who were buying it. I wasn't. The polling on this the polling on this bill looks horrible. But let me, I was actually headed in, and I just want to let you know this, because you might kick furniture. So they've got all this hoopla, right? So you would expect that maybe they'd say, and they're going to work overtime to make sure the bill is on the president's desk so he can sign it in the morning. I mean, they're excited. This is that we've been told by the for-profit media that this is historic, right? It's a historic bill and a huge victory for Republicans and Donald J. Trump. I mean, you've seen that, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't have to see it. I knew they were gonna for-profit media was gonna get on their goddamn knees and do their job.
Well,
you
guess
know,
what?
Do what they do best.
Guess what?
What?
He may not sign it until after January 1st.
That's what I hear, yeah.
You know why?
No.
Because if he signs it right now, it applies to 2018, and the Medicare, and because of the PAYGO rule, the pay-as-you-go law, it'll kick in,
okay. And
it will mean immediate cuts to Medicare in 2018, you know, before the elections. But if he only signs it after January 1st, it means that the PAYGO rules won't kick in until 2019, after the Republicans have presumably made their majorities safe once again.
Right. Yep.
Evil bastards.
I don't know if you missed my point about the corporations things. They did this within hours before the ink dried. I don't know about you, but that smells a little bit like corporatism. You know what corporatism is? You know what that's a euphemism for, really? Fascism.
Oh, sure it is. I mean, Mussolini said so.
I mean, these corporations, that they're engaging in collaboration with a right-wing authoritarian government to try to prop them up. It's a PR stunt. It makes the Republicans look good. I've already seen things like Republicans are the ones who are going to cause $15 minimum wage, $15 an hour minimum wage, wage now. And it's like, but a few corporations doing that affects a very, very small amount of people. You know what I mean? The only thing that could come from that is a trend. You know, like, oh, well, because they're paying their people $15 an hour, we got to start now kind of thing. But, you know, it's I don't know. It's just I felt that was a desperate attempt to try to get the public on board with this thing and to try to prop up Republicans and make people want to vote for Republicans over this stuff. They're trying to make them the populist party.
Well,
we all know they're not.
Absolutely.
We all know they're not. They're not populist, Bob. They're not populist.
No, hell no. And I don't care. Well, no, okay. Yeah. Look, populism is not necessarily a positive noun.
That's right. Yeah.
Look, what happened in Germany in the 1930s was a populist movement. Okay, so was fascism. So, you know, populism doesn't mean good. There can be bad populism,
right.
and as often as not, populism is bad. Okay, because populism somehow has a way of providing a nurturing space for demagogues, ideologues, and wannabe tyrants and autocrats.
Yeah, and well, there's a new film out. You know, it's funny. You said you pretty much verbatim quoted this what Robert Reich says in this new film and Netflix film that he came out with called Saving Capitalism. It's on Netflix. Anybody should go watch that. And he talked about that too. He said the same exact thing, but it's called Saving Capitalism. It's on Netflix. little plug there. And yeah, he said the same exact thing. He said that I'm going to talk about, you know, populism in its good forms, and then there's also bad populism, which I call dark populism. And by the way, I did not know that Robert Reich is actually 4'11". I had no idea. But anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that.
He packs a lot of brains into a small frame.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he is a very intelligent man. And like I said, I can't stress this enough. Anybody who has Netflix, please look up Saving Capitalism. It is great. It is a good film. It's very informative. But yeah, anyway, it's but when you have somebody like Robert Reich, he says that this bill is bad, and it's like a lot of people are saying that this could be another like beginning of this could trigger another like depression or economic collapse. I absolutely certainly hope not, but I happen to think that we're already in a certain type of depression. Just a different type, because wages are really depressed. Like, so we are. Look, you live in West Virginia. You know how it is. You know how poverty stricken a place like that is. We are a very
right, and they're not going to be passing out the Frisbees and wheat checks here in Appalachia anytime soon. No,
right.
No.
So
and look, I want you to just try to consider all angles of this too. The timing, of course, is suspect, but it's suspect for a number of reasons. For instance, one of the companies announcing the day of Jubilee is, of course, Comcast. Comcast is going to give $1,000 bonuses to more than 100,000 of their eligible frontline and non-executive employees, according to something that Isaac sent me. They say they're going to invest $50 billion over the next 5 years in infrastructure. Because of tax reform. Well, you know what? I was born at night, not last night. And
right.
I can see a payoff from a mile away, and it's not because of tax reform. That's the payoff because of what Ajit Pai did last week.
Right. Yep. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And then the thing
that's the payday for killing net neutrality. Now, corporations
right.
don't just give money away. All that money's going to have to be made up inside Comcast. Guess what tool they're going to use to get the money back? Hint: the absence of net neutrality.
Right. So we're getting fucked anyway. I got to tell you, man, they say that it's supposed to take a while for this shit to kick in. Dude, I'm already noticing a difference. Like on Netflix, for example, buffering, lots of buffering issues all of a sudden. I don't know. I feel like they were like just ready.
Okay,
they had everything all planned.
So it's not just me.
Yeah,
because
no, I'm pretty sure they had everything planned already.
Because, you know, it's the heart and soul of what we do here. I check to make sure that I'm getting what we're paying for in terms of speed from our crappy Frontier connection. And it remains consistently shitty, but I also know how my streaming media performs when Agnes and I sit down to watch something. And no kidding. And you know, I'm not going to get all Alex Jones or anything about this. But streaming has begun to suck a lot periodically in the immediate aftermath of the net neutrality murder.
I think
it's not just you and it's not just me.
Right? No. It's I noticed it right. I noticed it the day that they did it. Last Thursday, like I noticed it because I think what it was imagine all these companies. And they have a button there, just a button. Let's call it a fuckover button, you know, where they push that button and all of a sudden, you know, all the rules of net neutrality doesn't apply to them or anything. And they're fucking people left and right. And they're doing the fast lanes, all that kind of stuff. I feel like they had their fingers right above that button, just waiting for that vote. And as soon as that vote went through, they pushed that button. You know what I'm saying? Like they it was their green light, and they had their freaking finger right on that green light button. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like it was planned. and people knew these companies, they knew what was coming. They knew what they were going to be able to get away with, and they were just ready for it. And this whole thing really, really disgusts me, man. The whole process. These people are tyrants. That's what they are. And for corporations like that to fucking bend over backwards for these tyrants and give them a PR, you know, do like a PR stunt for them to try to give them a win because they obviously want to keep them in power. This is crazy, Bob. This is scary. This is very scary. I sound alarm bells whenever I see corporations get in bed with the fucking government over stuff like this. Even if it does, I mean, yeah, I know it's going to benefit some people. I'm glad people are going to be getting bonuses. I'm glad their minimum wage is going to be raised. I'm glad. But you know what? It's not happened to me. My wage isn't going up. I'm not getting any bonuses. You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I do.
It affects a very, very few amount of people for a very big cost to everybody, you know?
Right, but see, that's just because the miracle of the free market hasn't reached you yet, John.
Right, because, exactly.
Because after everybody else starts doing it, your employer will have to do it to keep up. Because free market.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be cool if it worked like that? Except, of course, you know, it doesn't.
Right. I'm very concerned, man. Like, you know, because these very, very few people that are going to get benefited from this when they're, you know, because they work for a corporation like Wells Fargo or Boeing. Yeah, good for them. Good on them. But you know what? It, like I just said, it's a very few people that are going to be doing good at the expense of a lot of people's, you know, like at the expense of everybody else who is not going to get their wages, you know, increased, that kind of stuff. It's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. And like for them to give these maniacs, these goddamn maniacs, these people are obviously tyrants. They're obviously nutcases. And these corporations give them more power by doing this PR stunt. I mean, people should be very concerned. This has nothing to do with Democrats not getting credit for it or whatever. You know, it has nothing to do with that. I could care less about that. I don't care who signs Medicare for All in the law, even if it's Trump. I don't care who does it.
But see, we know now that all of that and Medicare will not be touched. We're gonna fix Medicare and Social Security. Without cutting Medicare and Social Security, and it's a lie. He was lying to them all along, and it's a shame on him and shame on them kind of thing. It's shame on him for being a liar. It's shame on them for being simple enough to believe the goddamn lie. And it was and it all became abundantly clear with this bill, okay? Because Medicare and Social Security, and probably Medicaid, are going to take it on the chin. And the fact of the matter is, he campaigned. The clip has been run all day long of him, candidate Trump, saying, and we're going to have to get rid of carried interest. Carried interest is unfair. Carried interest is bad. We're going to get rid of carried interest. And, you know, he just wanted a win, okay? He wanted something, anything, to put in the W column. So when the Congress said, yeah, fuck that, you know, most of our political contributions come from hedge fund managers and real estate tycoons, so we're not going to hurt them. We're going to leave carried interest right where it is. And Trump said, I don't give a shit. I'm president now. Suckers. I mean, that's all the proof you need. And, you know, Paul Ryan has already said next year we're coming after Social Security and Medicare. And the way it works is this, John. They're going once this bill kicks in. And once the shit begins to hit the fan. And once they are proven wrong again. They're going to say
it doesn't look like they are right now.
Yeah, it is. This is a stunt, okay? I mean, it just because somebody's standing at the car lot giving away free hot dogs on a Saturday, do you think you're going to be able to show up at the car lot and get a free hot dog every day? It's a promotion.
PR. I know it is.
And so what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, the economy's not growing like we thought it was going to grow, and revenues aren't what we thought they were going to be, and well, golly, nobody, because there was Paul Ryan on TV this morning saying, nobody can predict the future. Well, that's what this entire bill is. It's a prediction of the future. That's what this going to be a law is. It's a crystal ball that's all crack, okay? And so nobody can predict the future. So since he's already laid the groundwork for it, and since he's already said they're going to come after entitlement reform next year, then they'll say, well, you know, it's not working out, so I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut into Social Security and Medicare. We're going to have to raise the Social Security retirement age, and we're also going to have to raise the eligibility age for Medicare. And then they'll say, but of course, it won't be for people who are getting it now, because that way they think that they'll keep them off the streets, and they'll keep them, because, you know, that's a very active voting bloc. Retirees already getting Social Security and Medicare, they're very active. They go to the polls, and as long as they don't touch theirs, they figure they'll be all right. It's me they're going to screw. It's people of my generation that are going to get it. It's your generation, John, that's going to get it. And they're pretty sure that since we're still working, we won't have time to, you know, get out and protest and raise hell. And we're probably not even going to vote. And so that's because it's a long con, John. And the end game is all along. Granted, they're given a massive tax cut to people who don't need it, sure. And Republicans will gladly do that on any day that ends in Y. But the real long con is to eliminate Social Security and Medicare, because they have hated it. Republicans have hated it from the moment that it became law. Social Security under FDR, Medicare under LBJ, and they hated it when it was passed into law, and they told their children, and their children hated it. And their children told their children and their children. And all along they said, a day is going to come when we can finally get rid of all of this miserable welfare that we're given to a bunch of goddamned working ingrates who don't appreciate it and don't deserve it and need to die anyway.
That's about the size of it, man. You know, I don't see how they can get away with doing it, but, you know, like you said, it's a long con, and man, it's just, oh, I can't believe what we're dealing with right now. What we're putting up with is crazy. And then I still can't get over the fact that all those companies came out and just gave the Republicans more power. Just like that, dude.
What?
They just came out and handed them power on the power.
Why wouldn't they?
It's crazy.
John, they're co-conspirators. Okay? This whole thing was a conspiracy. And corporate America are co-conspirators in it. So
yeah, it's like people hate the. It's crazy, you know. I gotta tell you, this kind of that kind of buggery really gets me scared, because I lived through 2008. You know what I mean? I graduated from high school in 2008. Can you imagine going into a workforce like that when the economy just basically crashed?
Oh.
I don't know what it's like to have a decent good job or anything like that. I have no idea what it's like. And that was the result of Republican policies and maybe a little bit of Clinton, policies too. You know what I mean? Like repealing Glass-Steagall and shit like that. You know, so, but mainly it happened under the Republicans' watch. And, like, I remember how that went down, and I remember the complicity of the Republican Party in that. And like I said, I'm not letting Democrats completely off either on it. But these people are worse now. The policies are worse, and the people are nasty, and they're fucking reckless. They're reckless. And the people on all the Twitters, you know, the people on Twitter are going, like, praising this win for the Republicans that are, I guess, Trump supporters, are they're not even, like, there's no civil. They're not civil. There's no civil, like, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, yeah, there's people, the people that hate Obama were really pissed off, but I didn't see Democrats and people like us going, nah, and the boo-boo, that kind of thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they rub it in our faces about how horrible, about all the Democrats voted against people getting $15 an hour wages. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, like the meanness of it, the whole, like, yes, we won, you're losers. It's really Trumpian, you know, and it's just like this disgusting fucking maggot of a man has reigned, has rotten so much hell on this country, man, and on this, the civil discourse. Everything they do is divisive. I didn't see that when they passed the Affordable Care Act. We didn't go around rubbing in their faces about having to win and all that kind of stuff. We didn't do that. So I don't know. I do this, Bob, but my pizza just got here and everything. So, you know.
Oh no, that's cool.
I gotta.
No, enjoy your pizza, man. Enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, right. Thanks. And, I appreciate you.
Just, you know, take a breath. You know, you're always welcome out here on the ledge. You're not the only one who's ever been here. But we're going to get through this. All you got to do before you go is tell me what kind of pizza.
Oh, just cheese.
That's cool. Is it corporate or is it local?
Oh, it's local. I mean, it's pretty white guy, but it's still good though. I don't know where he learned it from. Maybe he is Italian. No, I didn't think he was Italian, but, you know, because his name is Baker. So, yeah, he's white, but, you know, not to get bring race into it, but it's local, and it is actually really good. And Domino's is right up the street, and, dude, he beat the shit out of Domino's business-wise. I mean,
beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's cool. Yeah. But thanks for taking my call and everything, and hopefully Friday. Well, I can't talk Friday because I got a gig, so we'll be on the front porch.
All right. Well, knock them dead and enjoy the pie.
I will. Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Later, John. Take care.
See ya.
Bye now.
You too.
Our buddy John calling from somewhere in central PA. It's about 7 minutes before the hour. You want to get involved in the conversation? You got something on your mind? You want to talk about this madness? Well, you're welcome to. You know the number, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. Or from anywhere on planet Earth, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. And it'll get you right through. There's no waiting. First come, first served. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, and I think rightly, that they're coming for the entire, they're coming for every decent thing that's happened since the New Deal. See, you have to understand that about Republicans. They hate an America that manifests any kind of compassion for anyone except those whom they determine to be deserving of compassion. And the only people who are deserving of compassion are people who need none, people who are rich, people who have wealth with which to support, what's the language from the divorce statutes? people with enough money to report, to support Republicans in the manner to which they have become accustomed. In the outdoor photo op, that's what it was. At one point in time, Trump said, "And Steve Scalise is here. Steve Scalise. Steve's had a really bad year. Steve's had a worse year than most of us." Well, yeah, I'd say he has, to the extent that most of us didn't get nearly killed by a guy with a gun, whose access to the gun was made possible by the guy who was almost killed by the guy with the gun, you know, Steve Scalise. Klan sympathizer Steve Scalise. I won't stop saying that because it's true. When you show up and you do campaign events and public appearances with Klan sympathizer groups, baby, you're a Klan sympathizer too. James, with a note earlier, said net neuter implementation. I thought there was a 30-day delay on it, not that they wouldn't go ahead. Yeah, there is. But this stuff has to be rolled out. They can't just all of a sudden start sucking on day one. They've got to sort of ease us into the suckitude. Right. Jack says, "What do you use to check your net speeds? I'm looking for some for my own use, especially on Macs." I just use speedtest.net. Because it's kind of ubiquitous, it'll work. You know, there's an app for phones, tablets. You can access it via most browsers on a desktop or a laptop, and it gives you an okay answer. Meanwhile, Marty pointing out, and the Republicans have Kris Kobach to make sure any of us who might want to vote against them can't. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, you know, it doesn't work like that, talking about everybody beginning to pay $15 an hour so everybody catches up. If I pay you less, the rest of the free market will do the same. Well, there are some variations in that, Silent R. Lamar. My dad was a union member when he was a furnace operator just down the mountain here. And he knew a guy who worked at another plant on down the road, and they were friends because they both came from the same town here. And the one guy said, "You know, most of the time I'm glad you're a member of a union, because my employer is so afraid that we might form a union that they're willing to pay me more than they pay you. But every now and then, they just walk by, and they hand me a big old shit sandwich and say, 'Here, take a big old bite.'" And he said, "I'm not in a union. I make more than you make. But when they hand me that shit sandwich and say, 'Take a bite and smile like you like it,' well, you know what I have to do if I want to keep having a job? I take a big old bite of that shit sandwich." And I chew, and I eat it, and I smile. There we go. Now, in the desperate search for some way to feel better about all of this, I'm reminded, because he keeps up with this sort of thing, midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan says, "Didn't you state that if we can take it all back, House, Senate, White House, etc., we can reverse this nonsense?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And he said, "Then we need to hammer that home. Not only will it give people hope, it may motivate them to the polls." Anything that can be done can be undone. It would be difficult for Democrats to undo these tax cuts, because they would then get murdered at the polls. What they could do is make the tax cuts permanent for working people. Because see, that's the other that's the trick inside all of this. The tax cuts are permanent for corporations, but they run out for working people, and then they get and then the tax rate goes whoop right back up, and working people get stiffed, and they wind up paying more back after the tax cuts end. They'll wind up paying more back than they got while the tax cuts were in effect. I do not have those numbers right in front of me, but betcha, just betcha, because there's no way that Republicans are going to give a bunch of schmucks more money than they're going to wind up getting back. Come on. Too early to start drinking. So, yeah. But look, if you want to correct any of this stuff, you got to have the House, and you got to have the Senate. You got to do that first, and then in 2020, you've got to have the White House. Plain and simple. And there's no getting around that. Note coming in from Jason. Professor George Lakoff's UC Berkeley conservative immoral hierarchy, God above man, man above nature, the disciplined, strong above the undisciplined, weak, the rich above the poor, employers above employees, adults above children, Western culture above other cultures, America above other countries, men above women, whites above non-whites, Christians above non-Christians, straights above gays, there you go. And of course they're hierarchical in nature. And that's it. And they are authoritarian in nature. Well, okay, point taken. Marty says, never. It's never too early to start drinking. It can only be too late to stop. Yeah, I know. But watch and see. I mean, they're so thrilled with all this. If you've got any right-wing friends, maybe ask them, so why isn't he going to sign? If it turns out he doesn't sign it until January, ask why. Especially if the person you're talking to is, you know, a Trumpanzee or, you know, one of the maggots. Why? And when they say, oh, because he took Christmas holiday because he's working so hard to make Mark great again. Well, then you can drop the 20-ton rock on him and say, no, it's because Medicare is going to get cut. It's because there's going to be cuts all over the place, and if he signs it in 2017, they happen in 2018. But they're hoping that if they sign it in 2018, you won't notice, you know, by the time the elections roll around. Mm-hmm. All right, let's run over and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to hang on to what little remains of my sanity.
Well, I think that's a good deal of that. Last night's program was absolutely stupendous.
Oh, don't you just love Tara?
Well, I do. I listen to her every week. And every time she comes on PB, she has a lot to say. And she's been through an awful lot. And I have a lot of respect for her. I really do.
Oh, golly Moses. Yeah, me too. And she really, you know, she walks the walk and talks the talk.
And, you know, that three-hour program just fed through like crap through a goose. I mean, it just went, it was gone.
Well, I'd prefer you didn't compare the program to crap, but I understand the meaning of your analogy.
Well, I didn't mean it.
Your simile, as it were.
I just couldn't think of anything else, sir. I just couldn't. I'm so sorry. I understand
completely. So where is Colleton, South Carolina?
In the Low Country.
Okay.
That's Lord Colleton, one of the Lord's proprietors of that state.
Okay. Well, that's where the gropey, grabby, pervy preacher was. I know where Florence is, and I know where Columbia is, and I know where Charleston is, but little places like Colleton, no, or names like Colleton, I don't necessarily know.
Now, don't forget Camden.
Well, no, I know where Camden is, too.
Mm-hmm. I think we have one of our listeners who lives pretty close to there.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think both Todd and David in South Carolina, Stan, are both near, both not too far from there.
That's good. Anyway, first, this thing about the Trump delaying tax implementation or signature. I think I would do that if I were he. And there's a good point that, but now he seems to be so morally intent on signing that thing tomorrow morning.
All we can wait and see.
I think he will sign it tomorrow. I'll be honest with you.
He may, but everything I'm reading says that there will be the aforementioned crap that went through the goose is going to land on the fan in 2008. It's one of those conflicts like what John was talking about a minute ago, Jim. On the one hand, yeah, do it, because people are going to love the Republicans for slashing Medicare.
Well, we'll see. I mean, but as impulsive as he is and desirous of, completing one calendar year or whatever you want to call it, I think he's going to sign it tomorrow morning as soon as it hits his desk. As soon as the printers can get it over there, he's going to put his John Henry on it. He sure will.
Well, it's worth remembering that they screwed up their own bill in the House before they...
Can you believe that?
Yeah, they did that. So maybe they'll do,
Excuse me.
Maybe they'll do something equally stupid.
Well, I mean, stupidity does have a habit of getting its way, doesn't it? And I just love to see that convoy of buses they had going over the White House.
Oh, you mean with all the Congress critters in it?
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many Democrats run those buses.
None. Zero. Not one Democrat voted for any of that misery.
So it was all a Republican big party over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't see him. Did he go outside and make his, or where did he make his formal adulation, or receive his formal adulation?
It was outdoors with a whole lot of dignitaries and guests to make sure that nobody from the press... The press was so far back that he couldn't even hear a shouted question.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that was well intended. And, of course, he would have to have the senator from South Carolina, who's black, pick up his votes as they fell.
Anybody would have done that. It was the part where he told him to pick that up.
I know.
He did everything but call him boy.
Well, that's gonna resound well with people who put him in that Senate seat if they watch it or whatever. I don't know. It's just absolutely, absolutely bonkers. But nonetheless, he'll sign that tax bill. Because he's got those people who want to get paid. I mean, his Congress does. And those people sure as hell want to be paid for the support they've given to the man who put that thing into motion. And when I heard McConnell say, well, if we can't sell this thing, we all better get a new line of work. I thought to myself, you son of a bitch, prophetic words, maybe you just may have to.
It would be fine by me if he did. But McConnell's safe until, what, is it 20 or 22?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with his tenure as a senator. He was just reelected.
No, he had 14, I think. So he's safe till 20.
Okay, so he didn't have to worry about it too much. So he could get up there and just wreak havoc the way he normally does.
Right.
That man has to be absolutely the most repulsive human being I have seen in a long, long time.
You'll get no argument out of me on that.
I remember some guy back in the 50s who was the most hideous comedian named Arnold Stang. Does that name ring a bell for you?
Now, wait a minute. I remember a spokesman for the John Birch Society called Alan Stang.
No, this is Arnold Stang. This guy was so ugly, he made Tiny Tim look like Colin Firth. God, he was just so horrible. And that was his shtick. I mean, his just bad appearance and, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, McConnell just, you know, there's just something about that man that just makes me absolutely ill. And how in the world do people in a disadvantaged state, and Kentucky is a disadvantaged state, hell, it's probably up there with West Virginia or down there with West Virginia. How does he keep getting reelected?
Well, it starts with running terrible candidates against him. Remember, the last time through, he was almost on the ropes with Allison Lundergan Grimes, but then she turned out to be Republican light and started talking about how much she loved the coal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that did her in. And he also has, you know, enough money to burn a sopping wet elephant with $100 bills. That makes it a lot easier.
I guess so with all that political action committees or whatever they call them.
Hey, he's got a war chest that would make Marcus Licinius Crassus jealous.
Well, I think he better spend it very wisely. I really do. Because I don't think they're going to have a very easy time if Trump signs that thing tomorrow in selling this tax bill and selling cuts to Social Security and Medicare or by raising the limits of accessibility to these programs. And I've heard this mentioned so many times on your program, and I'll reiterate it. The term entitlement, that is not the correct term. These people have paid.
Yeah, but that's the word that they use so that they can make it sound like the people who are on Social Security and Medicare are somehow taking as opposed to purchasing. They are purchasers for value.
Well, they certainly have labeled those programs. They mislabeled them. Excuse me, and as you've said before, they have been after them since 1935, since Social Security was brought into being by FDR, and, you know, it was mentioned earlier today on the program, that's for sure. And they're going to have a hell of a time selling these programs once people begin to feel their impact. And I just wonder, how long will it take for the impact of these tax reforms to hit, you know, middle class and lower income people? Now, what's the timeline on that? Do you know?
That's the difference between sign it now or sign it later. As they were crowing earlier today, April 5th, and it was Kevin Brady, who is chair of Ways and Means. Kevin Brady said, April 15th is the last day you will ever have to deal with these demonic hell spawn tax code as we now know it. So 2000, your taxes coming up are going to be under the old rules. What you file in 2019 will be under the new rules. And of course, I mean, there's all kinds of different
you have to prepay your property tax. You have to prepay any type of gift that you might give, correct?
I'm not entirely certain.
Yeah, you do. You have to prepay all this stuff. Sounds like what Jews had to do in Germany before they left, because they made them prepay all the taxes before they could get out of the country. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. Those are the bullet points that I've been able to pull up.
Nasty bastards.
Yeah. And as far as Mr. Trump is concerned, well, he still has that rock-solid base of support.
Yep.
But it's still less than, what, 35%?
Yeah, the maggots haven't gone anywhere. The people who support this bill is roughly equivalent to the people who still support Donald Trump.
Okay, well, that's less than 55%, correct?
Yes. That's 32-33%.
Well, you know who got into power in Germany was less than 37.
Oh, I do.
There you go.
Well, and look, I'll piss people off saying this. I'm sorry if I do. But I watched all of this happen, and I couldn't help saying to myself, hey, look, it's another thing that's happening because we failed our quadrennial one-question IQ test.
Or refused to take it. Or just don't bother to take it.
You know, or marched proudly into the voting booth and, Jill can win. Or I'm staying home because there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two parties.
Oh, I've heard that more than I have anything else.
Or Clinton Dynasty, Bruga, 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 Bruga.
Uh-huh. And I just wonder what the status is of the person who is investigating him and his son-in-law.
I
wonder how that's going to go.
Well, see, Trump has to be treated like a toddler. So his lawyers keep saying, well, at first they said, well, you know, this will be over by Halloween. Not to worry, Mr. President. And then they said, well, don't worry about it, Mr. President. This will be over by Thanksgiving. And then it wasn't over by Thanksgiving. So now they looked in, Mr. President, this will be over by Christmas. On the other hand, however, people who work for Mueller are saying, you know, we expect to be working on this all through 2018.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to stop. Mueller's not going to stop just because Fox News is running some sort of smear campaign against him. I mean, this is a man who got shot, wounded in action, took an AK-47 round through the thigh in Vietnam as a Marine.
Right.
He's not scared of a bunch of little pissants on Fox. I can't believe
oh,
I'm
God,
talking.
They are that.
I can't believe I'm talking about a Republican this way, but you know, facts is facts.
Yeah. But I just wonder how long. I know the bills of the gods grind slowly but exceedingly fine, but something's going to have to come out of this. I mean, there's going to have to be some type of expose, I guess, the Russian participation in Trump being propelled into the White House, and the fact that he will not even think about saying a negative thing about Putin.
Well, you heard what Clapper said the other day, and look, Clapper has some integrity issues, but still, he said, look, once KGB, always KGB, won.
Of course.
And then Garry Kasparov showed up on MSNBC this morning and said the same thing. And Clapper then went on to say, look, Putin got where he is because he was very good at what he did. He was a good KGB case manager. And he's doing a great job handling the Donald Trump account.
Well, he was a restaurateur.
But James Clapper actually referred to the sitting president of the United States as a Russian intelligence asset.
Well, there it is, and that's going to happen more and more. And I don't know how much longer they can keep that thing under wraps, but I guess we shall see. And I just wonder exactly how much longer can this man. You know, Bob, what I'm trying to say is this whole Trump, a day in the life of Donald Trump, a day in the life of the media, is like one tired reality show. In the morning, it has its beginning. At noon, it has its crisis. And then, by nightfall, it's gone away. And the next day, it's going to present another one. You notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
How cyclical that is. I mean, they just repeat one thing over and over and over and over. These pretended crises and these artificially generated crises, and they're designed to divert the attention of American people. And our entire political scene is just one real bad reality show. And when I listen to Ryan make his declaration, and I thought to myself, good God, I cannot believe you're actually standing in the well of the house and speaking in what you're saying. And what's this man's professional background? You said he's delivered pizzas and drove the Roscoe Wire Wiener car?
He worked for McDonald's once, but yes, he was a waiter. I mean, you know Capitol Hill a little bit, right?
Not as well as I used to.
Well, if you walk down between, what is it, the Madison Annex of the Library of Congress and the Cannon Building.
All right.
You walk down the hill away from the Capitol, about just catty-cornered across the street from the Capitol South Metro Station, there's a little Tex-Mex joint. And I've been in there a million times. It's called Tortilla Coast. And he was a waiter at Tortilla Coast.
And from that point, how did he get into where he is now?
Well, he did you know, Wingnut Welfare, Jim. He was saying all the right things and believing all the right things, so he got some think tanky work and maybe did some staff time. And by then, he had married well up in Janesville. He married money. And, you know, a good Republican real estate or construction firm, something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. And ran for Congress.
I see.
He's
so
never,
basically,
he has scarcely ever worked an honest day's labor in his entire life. The hardest he's ever worked was McDonald's, driving the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile, and waiting tables at the Tortilla Coast.
And from that point forward, he received a college education. And what beyond that, a law degree?
I don't know if he's got a law degree or not.
I'm just wondering what his, you know, his curriculum vitae happens to be. I mean, what really constitutes his resume?
Well, he went to. Well, hell, you're going to make me look him up, aren't you?
Well, you don't have to if you don't want to.
No, I mean, I will. Let's see. He's 47 years old. He was born January. Oh, really? He shares a birthday with one of my kids. God damn it.
You're welcome.
Let's see.
I think you need to look him up.
I'm just trying to, let's see. He attended St. Mary's Catholic School in Janesville, Wisconsin. Played seventh grade basketball. President of junior class. Prom king. In high school, he worked a grill at McDonald's. And when he was 16 years old, he found his 55-year-old dad laying dead in bed from a heart attack.
Okay.
And that's when Social Security survivor benefits saved his miserable, sorry ass.
Okay, continue, please.
He got a bachelor's in economics and poli-sci at Miami University of Ohio. And that's where he started thinking wingnut, because he read Friedrich Hayek, Ludwig von Mises, and Milton Friedman. He also became an acolyte of Ayn Rand. And then a professor got him to start reading National Review.
Buckley.
Then he got an internship in Wisconsin Senator Bob Caston's office in D.C.
That was it right there.
Yeah. And it was during summers then that he drove the Weenie Mobile. Volunteered for the congressional campaign of John Boehner. Was a member of Delta Tau Delta fraternity. And no law school.
Mm-hmm.
He's a true believer.
Well, I thank you for that precy of his past. I wasn't really sure about that. And I've had some other things that have been more important to my mind than looking him up, but I guess since he's third in line to the presidency of the United States, we do need to look him up. Now, he says he's not going to run for the speakership after, next year?
Yeah, and look, if things go south for him, he may not be able to, because there's a guy in Wisconsin who is a union iron worker, who is hell-bent on throwing him out of office.
That would be one of the major events that could ever happen. I mean, if he were to be expelled from his particular, non-reelected.
Yeah. Defeated. That's a good word. Defeated.
Exactly. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Then, you know, that would be a great victory in every shape of the word. Because this guy is just as cold as anything I've ever seen in my life. He is. For me, he's a monster. To tell you the truth, I hold him in the same amount of contempt as I do Donald Trump.
Oh, he's worse. He's worse because he's not an idiot. Now, granted, no, granted, he was such a fool doofus back in 2012 that Joe Biden actually laughed at him on live television during the debate in front of God and everybody, and we laughed with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Pierce, Arthur reminds me in the chat room. Charlie Pierce over at his blog at Esquire.com/politics refers to him as the zombie-eyed granny starver from Wisconsin. Because he's not going to be happy until he has eliminated every aspect of the New Deal and every aspect of the social safety net, which at this point in time is, you know, kind of threadbare.
I just wonder how much one human being can conceal that much hate. And that's exactly what
here's the best part of it. He considers himself a devout Roman Catholic.
Well,
and he has, in everything but name, he has been called out by Pope Frank, who says, you know, you don't take what little they have away from the poor and call yourself a follower of Christ Jesus.
I wish Pope Francis was excommunicated, sorry ass. What do we do then?
That would be kind of fun. Well, you know, I guess that's all out of fashion now.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It certainly wouldn't help him with his Catholic constituency. And it certainly would bring a lot of attention to his character. I mean, you were talking about that cardinal who just passed away earlier in the show. And, you know.
Yeah, Bernard Law.
I think that'd be just about as bad, actually. No, but anyway, I just wanted to find out the skinny on our Speaker of the House because...
Well, you know, Jim, you've read a lot of stuff. Have you ever actually sat down and I'm sorry if you have, but I've done it twice, and I hate myself. Have you ever actually sat down and read Atlas Shrugged from cover to cover?
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Did you try? I mean, did you start and just go, ooh, no?
That Dianetics, I got... no.
Just no.
No, I could not. I've seen the movie with Gary Cooper, and...
Oh, no, that was the fountain. That was the Fountainhead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. My mind was elsewhere.
A.N. Rand was insufferable. The director was about ready to have her strangled on the set of that because she wanted to give direction to Gary Cooper on how to deliver her words.
You know, and honestly and truly, I've said this before, there are two books that I have found on planes left in the seats. One is the one we're talking about, and the other is Dianetics.
Oh, no, I've never even tried. I tried a little bit of Battlefield Earth. And yeah, usually when I start reading a book, Jim, I'll finish the damn thing. Just to say, you know, but there are a few that I've put down. There are a few that I just freaking quit on. Battlefield Earth was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And some of the ideas that are put forth in these readings, no, they're not for me.
Oh, and by the way, Mike in Cascadia reminds me by sending me a link. Paul Krugman, with whom I'm sure you're familiar, Paul Krugman referred to Paul Ryan in 2010 as the Flim Flam Man.
Well, there you go. There you go. And he's going to be one of those people who's going to have to try to sell this thing if Trump signs it tomorrow. And I can't wait till he tries to do it, because it may ultimately end up in his denouement. And the end of him as anything else.
Well, and the thing is, the thing you've got to understand about Paul Ryan in light of this tax nightmare that just passed, is that it's not something new. This is, well,
it's been going around a long time.
No, well, I'm going to put some people off saying this, but teenage boys, back when porn was something you had to buy at a, you know, at a dodgy gas station or something, you know, Playboy, mm-hmm. Penthouse, what have you, and they'd keep them stuffed under the mattress or hidden somewhere that mom and dad wouldn't find them.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, teenage boys will have their favorite pinups for a certain purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And this tax scam that just got, let's see, what was that preacher from Mount Juliet, Tennessee saying earlier? Somebody, this tax scam that just got rammed down our throats has been, well, if we're going to use the porn analogy, this tax scam is the centerfold that's always stuck together for Paul Ryan.
Bob, what I saw today, what little I saw today in the House of Representatives and yesterday, was nothing but what I consider to be political pornography.
Well, but what I'm getting at is that back in, earlier than 2010, Paul Ryan was calling for this same snake oil to be applied, mm-hmm. and it hasn't changed. And what Krugman, mm-hmm. what Krugman talked about in 2010 was the fact that he was lying about it even then. He said that the Congressional Budget Office said that it would cut the budget deficit in half by 2020. And then Krugman says, no, the CBO has done no such thing. At Mr. Ryan's request, it produced an estimate of the budget effects of his proposed spending cuts, period. It didn't address the revenue losses from the tax cuts. Then Krugman says, the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center has, however, stepped into the breach. Its numbers indicate, and this is kind of interesting, its numbers indicate that the Ryan plan would reduce revenue by almost $4 trillion over the next decade. If you add these revenue losses to the numbers the Post cites, the Washington Post, you get a much larger deficit in 2020, roughly $1.3 trillion. And lo and behold, here we sit on the 20th day of December, the winter solstice, 2017, and what just passed is going to absolutely blow the deficit out by, yes, more than $1 trillion.
There you go, buddy.
It's the same. Almost. It's the
it'll
same. It's the same filthy.
Trillion, Bob.
It's the same filthy fiscal porn that Paul Ryan has been eagerly masturbating to for 20 fucking years.
I just don't understand how a person could be so possessed like that. I really don't.
Well, you have to, Jim, you have to go back to what I said when we were going through his bio. When he was an impressionable kid at Miami University of Ohio, he fell under the tutelage of a libertarian professor who said, here, son, read this, and hands him Ludwig von Mises, and then hands him Hayek, and then hands him Milton Friedman. And he didn't have anybody there to teach him critical thinking skills so that he wouldn't just swallow that shit whole. And then there's Ayn Rand in the mix. I know I kind of hammer on her, but you'd be surprised the number of people who say, I read Ayn Rand when I was a teenager, and it changed my life. And so from thereafter, they go through life as these shitty little piss ants who think that anybody who gets to eat dinner at night is somehow taking away from them. She's awful. They're awful. She was a terrible hypocrite. She called people moochers for taking from the state. And in the end of her life, she had to be signed up on Social Security and Medicare because she'd squandered all of her money from her writings.
That's right.
But so when Ryan gets into Congress and I'm not trying to just beat a dead horse. Lo and behold, when some impressionable little intern like he once was wanders into it, comes into his orbit, he gives them a copy of Atlas Shrugged and demands that they read it, almost as a condition of employment.
Oh, I'm sure.
And the thing is, once you get past the terrible writing and the cardboard character development and the preachy page after page after page, it's
well,
like
she
some,
was a Russian immigrant, was she not?
Yeah, she was, and she reads that way too. But the sex scene. Not that I'm all hung up on sex, but, you know, there's good porn and there's bad porn.
True.
And the sex scenes that she wrote in that horrible, awful, no good, very bad book would be an embarrassment to anybody who ever tried to write a dirty letter to Penthouse.
Well said. Very well said.
And so those are the things that shaped Paul Ryan's character. You know, like I said, he's 16 years old. He finds his dad dead. His grandmother, who has Alzheimer's, moves into their home. He helps take care of her. He's still a good little Catholic boy. But then he goes off to college, and because his dad died and he's 16... It turns into a constant search for, you know how it is with the search for the father thing, and so he'd have been better off. America would have been better off if the professor would have diddled him instead of raping his mind. I'll probably get shit for that, but that's okay.
No, you're not going to get any shit from me about that.
No, not from you.
Right.
No. I mean, I hate making analogies like that, but in the case of Paul Ryan, it's true.
It's necessary.
Because that libertarian economics professor buggered his brain.
Sure did. And I'll tell you, when I look at that man's eyes and look at his demeanor or perceive his demeanor, and there's just something there that is almost demonic. It really is. But getting away from Paul Ryan, tonight is the night of the winter solstice, and tonight is what, the shortest night of the year?
Longest night of the year?
Huh? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the longest.
And tomorrow will be the shortest day.
Well, I mean, today's the shortest day.
I always thought it was the 21st.
Shortest day, longest night, one day. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I could stay out a little bit longer.
Well, hang on. Okay, now I got to look that up. Winter solstice 2017, because now we'll get the official astronomical projections. Okay. Technically, it happens tomorrow.
Thought so.
Yeah. So everything I've said was wrong, but 21st. It will happen at 11:28 a.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow.
Uh huh.
So, you know, better to celebrate.
Back in our wilder days, we used to have. I always had a winter solstice party, always. And that was, you know, more fun than Christmas. Because that's when, you know, my friends and I got together, and the Christmas tree was up, there was a fire in the fireplace, and we were all having lots of scotch and water, smoking lots of joints, and just enjoying the longest night of the year.
Oh, be still my heart.
Sure did. I have some fond memories about that. I really do.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I'd have him poo. I'd have him too. So, tonight, tomorrow, if you celebrate the longest night of the year tomorrow night, you're too late. So I'd rather be early than late.
There you go. Well, I'll have to leave certain lamps lit and certain candles burning, and see whom I might be able to attract.
Well, I wouldn't leave the window thinking. Open on a night like this.
Wishful thinking. Nonetheless, yeah, we used to make jokes about stuff like that, and it was just, actually, the winter solstice, with some of my friends who were goths, were sort of, you know, into that more than they were Halloween.
Well, yeah, and of course it marks the beginning of winter, which is kind of a downer.
Well, you know,
because
hey, you...
now the sun is what the sun's as far south as it can go, and it'll start creeping a little bit northward. The solstice happens when the sun is directly over the Tropic of Capricorn.
And one other thing you mentioned earlier, and I'm not trying to prolong the conversations. You know, I was watching this thing on the Smithsonian today, and all these places in Ireland and other parts of the world were designed where on the first day of the solstice or that the sun would shine into these innermost barrows or mounds. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah. And they're particularly, they had a program about Ireland today.
I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of astronomically aligned monuments.
Mm-hmm.
Here in North America, the complex at Cahokia, which at one point in time was the biggest city in North America, is astronomically aligned with the solstices.
Now, Bob, let me ask you one more thing. Before we go, how do these people know this?
How do what people know what?
How do they know about planetary alignments? They didn't have telescopes.
Oh, a lot of this stuff you can do with the naked eye.
I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. The Mayans built tall observatory stations. There's one I can think of. It's near the Caribbean coast.
It's in Chichen Itza.
No, it's not Chichen Itza.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, they may have, but there's one that's specifically an observer because it's designed specifically to watch the changing and the rising and setting of Venus.
Okay, that I understand. But these people in Ireland who are just Neolithic peoples, they didn't have any type of sophistication that I know of that would enable them to, without some type of outside help, to build these things so that on the exact date, these things would occur.
Oh, now, please, you're not going all Ancient Alien on me, are you?
No, I'm not, but I think I do believe we have had contact with other forces.
Well, look, you know, necessity is a mother. And I'm fond of good old Homo sapiens.
But you haven't answered my question. How do you think they did this?
How did they do it? By
their primitive culture.
By observation. If it's getting colder and the days are getting shorter, then you've probably got some member of the priesthood class or the shaman class whose job is to watch the sun every morning. And it's a process of observation, and if you're doing agriculture, you absolutely have to know these things. So you definitely task someone with that job.
No, perhaps yes, I would think so.
Because you've got to know when, you know, if you start planting in October, your culture is going to starve to death, you know, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere.
There you go. Well, listen, it's been an interesting conversation. Thank you for the privacy, Ryan. And again, thank you for a wonderful program last night. It was thoroughly enjoyable.
Well, I enjoyed it too, and I'm hoping
Well, like I told Tara, the door's always open here, so anytime she wants to wander by, but, you know, you can always catch her at FYINation.com every Saturday night at 7, and then it replays Sundays on Progressive Voices.
I've done that before. This is the first time I really heard her over that period of time just completely.
Oh, Tara would not have any trouble whatsoever carrying a three-hour program. None at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a three-hour time commitment is a challenge if you're also out there working and trying to keep the lights on.
I just wonder what kind of work she does.
I don't know that I mean, I know, but I don't know that I'm at liberty to say.
Okay. I just wonder if it was.
She's very good. Let's put it this way. She's very good at it. She's very good at it.
Yep. She has definitely been around the block. And has been through a lot of life experiences. A lot of which are very, very pleasant. She's done quite well, really.
Oh, she is an absolute marvel. And I mean the I referenced it last night. I made reference to it. It was a war protest, and Malloy and Tara and I were all in D.C. for a radio row. And the protest was at the same time, so Malloy was invited down to speak, and I went down there, and Tara was there. And Malloy went there with the full intention of getting his ass arrested, which he then did.
He mentioned that in one of his programs, yeah.
God, my rental car, my rental car was an Impala. A Chevy Impala. Tara was in the front seat and running the GPS, because I was in a part of D.C. I didn't know, because you got to go over across the Anacostia River to the National Park Service jail, because that's who did catch and release at that time. Of course, catch and release may be a thing of the past now that we're trying journalists for doing journalism and making them face 20, 40 years in prison for exercising their First Amendment rights.
That's the damnedest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I just can't understand that. But yes, I can understand it, considering the regime that is in power. That's for sure.
Well, they're a terrifying lot. And of course, the judge who's doing the dirty business is a George W. Bush appointee.
And some of these appointees that Trump has tried to ram through, and they've had to withdraw three of them, I know. And one of them sounded like he'd never been in a courtroom.
Oh no, that was a beautiful moment. It just was.
Listen, you take care, and I've enjoyed our program tonight. I enjoyed last night, and so you're going to be broadcasting maybe Christmas Eve or...
Well, not Christmas Eve, that's Sunday, but Christmas night, most likely.
So your Christmas Eve will take place on Friday.
The Christmas Eve program? Yeah, I guess. But since we're going to be here on Christmas, we may just do the whole Christmas thing on Christmas. What I've got in mind, if Sparky and... he said he's got no plans for Christmas. We may do a Christmas on the front porch.
And that will be what night?
Monday night.
Monday night. But Friday night will be a regular Christmas on the front porch.
Yeah, that'll be a Friday on the front porch.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for the time, and you take care, and I wish you and all your family the very best over the holidays, and I'm sure you've got something very, some wonderful thing cooked up or planned to cook up.
Actually,
sure
no.
You do.
Actually, no, Jim. I'm not going to do any cooking at all.
You're kidding.
No, it's just the boy and me, and not to say that, you know, he doesn't merit it, but it's hard to do that kind of cooking if you're only feeding two people. So
how is he?
He's doing good. He's doing good. His birthday is the day after Christmas, of course, so.
22?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope he's well, and I hope he's happy and content.
Well, I'm going to see I'm going to see if he wants to maybe get the guitar out and rattle off some sort of Christmassy something or another, either Friday or Monday night.
Well, I wish you well in any efforts you both may undertake.
All right.
And I'll leave you where I found you, and you take care.
All right. Thank you, Jim. You have yourself a good evening.
We'll try, Bob.
Happy solstice.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. It's our buddy, Jim. 5 minutes before the hour. Thank you, Renee, for jumping in on fundraising this evening. That's huge. That is tremendous. And I'm happy to say that the rest of every program for the remainder of December will be a fundraising-free program. So maybe we'll get a sense of what it would sound like if we had, like, you know, the $410 a month subscribers. Tell your friends and neighbors. Let's expand the conversation in the community. Let's see. Oh, a note coming in from Glenn. OMG. I have a friend who did exactly that. He read Atlas Shrugged and said it changed his life. What the fuck? And anybody who says that, you know one thing about them. You had no, they had no one around them to tell them what is literature and what is tripe. Because anything Ayn Rand wrote is tripe. I've got another buddy who said, say what you will about the Bolsheviks, but they figured out a way to run Ayn Rand out of Russia. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Lenin. So, what else? Mike in Cascadia also reminds me. Paul Ryan has been dreaming about this day since his college kegger days. I remember playing that audio. His college dream was to kick poor people off of Medicaid. That's not a joke. And that's how these libertarian, right-wing Republican fucks are. I wasn't being too far hyperbolic in saying that, you know, it's a masturbation fantasy of his. And as Jason points out, 5 planets are visible with the naked eye from planet Earth. Larry, on the other hand, says, you're right, and Jim's right, bro. You're totally right in what you say, and while these guys on Ancient Aliens, the show, and I know them, they're all disinformation tools, the evidence is pretty clear. It was one factor that Darwin was missing to complete his theory. I mean, the guy with a beard and the cloud creating life bullshit is laughable, and the more logical evolution theory still needed a push. Not slimy green or gray aliens, but advanced Earth-like humans from other planets no doubt had a lot to do with it. And here's the kicker. I doubt they observe timelines like we think of them on Earth. Oh, Tralfamadorians. By the way, as nutty as I sound, I have reason to tell you what I do, and I think Nori, Bell, and fools like them are crazier and lamer than even you do. I'm not even so sure their shows aren't from the same ilk of right-wing political talk, efforts by white nationalists and even Russians to dummy Americans down. Well, there's things we can know and things we can't know. I just happen to... I'm a humanist. I am anthropocentric to a certain extent. And I think the genius of humanity has been what it has been able to figure out. And, of course, the curse of humanity has also been what it's been able to figure out in terms of really creative ways to kill each other. The other animals don't do that. So, thanks again. Wow, what a monumental night. Thank you to everyone who jumped in to meet Larry and Liberalville's challenge. I never dreamed for a moment when I announced it this evening that that would happen. I figured we'd still be talking about it Friday. Instead, we won't be talking about fundraising at all Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of next week. How cool is that? Very. So thanks to all of you who keep this program going. Thanks to all of you, our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Midweek Pinch Hit Utility Chat Room Moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan, who still insists on drinking Budweiser. I love you, man, but we gotta have a long, talk with that boy. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.